Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Behind the Scenes with Brian, the podcast covering everything from engineering, mining, and mine waste management to whatever else may be on our minds. Pop in your headphones and don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share. And now, here is your host, Brian Ulrich.
Hey everyone, this is Brian. This is Behind the Scenes with Brian, and today I am joined once again by Marcelo Giano. Marcelo, how are you today?
Hello, Brian. How are you? Thank you very much for the invite.
Yeah, absolutely. And where in the world are you today?
Yes, sir. Today we are in Brisbane. Very sunny day today. Very nice weather. We're in spring, so it's all happy days for us here.
I think almost every day in Brisbane is a nice day, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, like they call Queensland is the sunshine state. So yeah, there's always like, yeah, very, most of time is like they're very beautiful weather.
Yeah. Yeah. And Marcelo, just remind us who you work for.
So I am a consultant with Broad Earth Engineering. We have recently joined GeoSyntech in the US.
Okay.
Yep. So yeah, we are now part of like the GeoSyntech family of companies, and yeah, so very excited, has brought to us like many opportunities, a more like a global footprint. So yeah, like very lots of exciting new things for us coming over the next few years.
Yeah, that's exciting. How big was your company before that acquisition?
So we were around 70 people. Three offices, Brisbane, and we had like a satellite office to Brisbane in the Gold Coast as well.
Okay, nice. Okay. So you might be working other places in the world before you know it.
Oh, for sure. Like, I mean, even the acquisition, we already were like, yeah, just like doing some work overseas, not too much obviously, like more like review capacity and that sort of thing, like due diligence. Now we're getting more more inquiries, like now that people know that we have like a larger footprint.
And Marcelo, just for the people that didn't listen to our first episode, just remind people what you do, you know, your background, your education, and what you love to do.
So I did a civil engineer bachelor study in Colombia. That's where I'm originally from, and then I moved to Brazil and did a master's and PhD studies there while I was still consulting in Colombia. I had a small consultancy there, working mainly in the closure space. Then I decided that I wanted to do a little bit of research, so I stopped consulting for a few years, and that's when I started like really like working in the tailings dam industry, when David Williams hired me as a postdoc. So I stayed there for a few years, and then just been consulting in the area since then.
Okay. And so I asked you to come back onto this podcast because of an article that you posted. And in the article, you talk about a thing called a material point method and how that might affect the consequences of a dam breach analysis. So what is a material method?
Yeah, so the material point method, it's a numerical technique that I work with during my master's and my PhD. So I've been working with it like since 2011, so a little bit more than a decade. The material point method is a numerical technique that serves like it's a branch out of finite element methods. So when I mentioned the MPM, or like that's how it's the material point method is referred to, MPM. It is good to like put like in a broader perspective of numerical methods, like where numerical methods come from. So it is all also important to mention like FLAC, obviously, because it's very, very relevant to the industry. So FLAC runs in a technology called finite differences, right? Finite differences was developed by Taylor back in the 1700s. It's the same guy that developed the Taylor series that we all study when we are back in uni. Right?
Okay.
So it's like 300 years old, and that's why it's robust. 80 years ago, finite elements was developed by Courant, if my memory serves right. So, and then obviously, like, I mean, the area, like, for the developments happen, and the NPM, like, the very first formulation was in the 60s. So, yeah, like, around, 60 years ago, roughly. And the idea, it was developed in Los Alamos, in the U.S., and the idea behind it was to be able to reproduce large deformations. Like, imagine like when you have like a rubber band that you can stretch well beyond the small strength theory, which is what problems like FLAC or Plaxis can do. So the method is very useful, especially in Dunbridge applications, because as it is obvious to all of us that work in the industry, like a Dunbridge application from a computational mechanics perspective is like a large deformation problem. You have something that is static, that is not moving, and then due to various different loadings, like can be a seismic load, can be like an excess of water pressure, or can be an excavation, can trigger a solid to liquid transition depending on the tailings properties, right? So then that transition results in large deformations. Historically, solving large deformation problems has been difficult because of the computational capacity that we had available to us. And that has been largely overcome over the last few decades. So it makes possible to use these tools for something that is as relevant as and important as that Dunbridge analysis for the tailings dam industry.
Just to add into some of the history there, I think that FLAC was also used by NASA back in the very early days of rocketry to figure out some of the problems of a rocket taking off and the launch pad. What happens to the launch pad when the rocket takes off? If you can imagine that there's a lot of things going on, the thrust and the heat and all that. So there was never any problems with the foundations for rockets taking off. And I think that's due in part to the FLAC analyses.
Yeah. I think like that, it was Ralph Peck who did like those early works.
That could very well be. Yeah. So tell us how this NPM method helps in a dam breach analysis.
Yeah, okay. So I think, so then like now to discuss, I think, about dam breach analysis and how have we done them historically. So dam breach analysis is something that comes, or like the tool as a risk management comes from the water dam industry.
Right.
So we obviously, like when like the tailings dam industry was growing, like I mean, like we tapped in that knowledge base that existed. And obviously the techniques were developed for water dams. So you have water, that from a constitutive point of view behaves Newtonian. Newtonian meaning
right.
that it has zero shear stress resistance, basically. So that that the fact that it behaves Newtonian eases, like, makes it easier to solve some things, but some other things make it more difficult. It is more difficult in the sense that you, when a dam, a water dam breach happens, you cover like a larger area. If you need to compute inundation or like flooding maps for a larger area, like, yes, okay, you're gonna have a computational cost associated to that.
Yeah.
Right. The advantage is like, because it is a Newtonian flow, then a lot of the equations can be simplified and we understand them like relatively well. The difficulties arises because, as we all know, like, tailings are not water.
Yeah.
Tailings are a viscous fluid that gets deposited into these tailings dams. Then this fluid releases water first during sedimentation settling, and then after during consolidation settling. So as the consolidation process develops, the solids concentration in the mixture increases. As the solids concentration in the mixture increases, then the mechanical behavior of that material changes. And it goes from a low yield stress, or like low undrained shear strength, if you're going to talk in your technical terms, to a higher undrained shear strength. But it also gets more complicated because then, as we know from a geotechnical standpoint, it develops what we know as a peak strength, and it develops residual strength.
Yeah, right.
So capturing that behavior from no deformations until you go like a small deformations, you reach a peak strength, and then a little bit more deformations, and you can like potentially developing like that residual strength, is something that obviously the water dam industry never really considered, never really needed. And so, like, it's a very unique challenge that we have. And that's where the MPM comes into play, because MPM is a technique that can use all the advantages that we all know from FLAC, from PLAXIS, which is solving like complex stress strain behaviors.
Yeah.
But also at the same time allows you to see what is the outcome of that progression on a strain, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So when you do a dam break analysis, what are the steps that you do, kind of in a nutshell?
Yeah, so look, I'm trying to be brief here. So, like, I mean, obviously, ideally, before you do a dam break analysis, you want to have an FMEA. So you want to understand what are your failure modes.
Yeah.
You need to understand what are your credible failure modes.
Yep.
And you also need to understand what are your highest consequence failure modes.
Right, good.
So once you have understanding of those different failure modes, then like you can define like what are going to be like your scenarios. And then you try to reproduce those scenarios as best as we can with the technology that we have available. And we're trying to determine what is the highest damage potential, if that makes sense, or like highest consequence. And that will be the scope for dam breach analysis in broad terms.
Yeah. So are you actually able to do an inundation map with FLAC or PLAXIS, or just the breach itself?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So, obviously, for you to do an inundation map, you need something in three dimensions, right? So that's when like things get starting to get like a bit trickier, because when you're trying to solve like complex constitutive relationships, and when you, and you go 3D, that becomes a challenge. The other thing to note here as well, or like that is important to highlight, is like NPM is not a solution or like a silver bullet for everything. NPM has an application, has a range of application. So as we discussed earlier, some of the challenges of non-Newtonian fluids, like NPM, have their own challenges because the computational cost is much larger. It means that solving a large problem or like a high mobility event, it is more challenging. So the sweet spot for NPM is tailings with high solids concentration, filtrate, like filtration is a really good application case for like something like NPM. Closure are really good like application cases for NPM. And so the short answer to your question is yes, so we can do 3D NPM models, understanding that there is like a limit, a computational limitation there. So when we have like higher mobility, what we tend to do is like we develop like a hydrograph using NPM techniques, for instance. A hydrograph is simply a plot of volume versus time. And then what we use, like we couple that with all the hydraulic tools that exist that are able to model non-Newtonian fluids as well. Like, I mean, I don't want to say here that, like, I mean, everything that has been developed in the that came from the water industry, the water dam industry is of no use. Like, of course, like we still need to use a lot of those tools, but we can combine them with NPM and then being able to produce, I would say, like a more sophisticated assessment, if you like.
Well, Marcelo, if people wanted to study more up on the use of the NPM, especially for dam breach analysis, where would they find this information?
Well, so it is an evolving field, and because the attention that the field is getting, like, I mean, it is rapidly changing over time. So one of the challenges that we have in the industry is like it's not many of us that can do this kind of thing. There are a number of well-established academics. So I'm gonna mention like one of my collaborators, which is Alba Hierro in Virginia Tech. She did her PhD studies in the same field, and Alba assists us with paper reviews and that sort of thing. So like the source of knowledge for NPM modeling really like lies in academics at the moment. And there are a few books that are published, but they tend to be very theoretical. So
So I think we have to wait a little bit longer before it can be in the mainstream of dam breach analyses.
I guess so. I mean that's a fair assessment. But at the same time, I think that the industry has an appetite for this kind of thing. So I think it's very like I think it's very relevant as well to mention now that, for example, like last year, the USSD guideline for numerical modeling highlighted NPM as like the a new trend that deserves attention. So it is like not NPM, I think like large deformations tools, like tools able to like solve large deformations, are gonna keep picking up interest from the industry. So I think it's also important to mention, like, NPM is just one of the players that exist out there, but there are more, there are other players. There are extended finite element methods, for example. There are smooth particle hydrodynamics as well. So there are alternatives out there. So it's like NPM is not like one stop shop, and time will tell who's the winner in this commercial race.
The developments for Bainbridge analyses are changing rapidly over time, and Canadian Dam Association came out with a document maybe a year ago that provides guidance, but it doesn't talk about specifics. It talks about whether your tailings are liquefiable or not, and whether you have a pond or not, like that kind of thing. But they don't really give guidance on how to run a numerical model, for example. But the dam breach analysis at large is a lot of art, but there's a lot of science, but there's a lot of art to it as well.
Yeah, the CDA document is very good. It's the best we got, actually, at the moment. So it is, I mean, like, I was very glad when that was what document was released. Like, I knew personally some of the individuals that were involved in the development of that, and there's a lot of effort behind that. And it's recognized in that document, for example, the role that, like, geotechnical engineering plays into this sort of events, and also the role of large deformations. So I mean, like, people is paying more and more attention. So I think this is an area that is gonna keep picking up interest, and like,
okay. Well, great, Marcella. I think I covered everything I wanted to ask you. Is there something that you wanted to talk about that I didn't ask you about?
Not really. I think we have covered, like, in broad aspects of, like, what this is about, and like what can be used for, like what sort of like the state for the industry here.
Right. Yeah, and I think stay tuned for more information is going to be the takeaway from this, but it sounds like there's some real big advances already made.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, like, as you are well aware, Brian, like, I mean, breach analysis, or like tailings dam breach analysis reports, have long been criticized for not being realistic, or being like alarmistic. I mean, that is a result not of people not doing a good job, but more look for the limitations that existed because of the tools that we had available. So I think this is an exciting field because it's changing, and it's providing like more tools available to us so we can assess.
Yeah, well, like everything, the devil lies in the details. You know, there's two ends of this dam breach. One is a slump, and one is you treat everything like water, and the reality lies between those two. And it's always difficult to figure out because there's a lot of parameters and there's a lot of different approaches, and you just put a minor tweak on one of those parameters and it makes a huge difference. So that's where the art comes in.
For sure, for sure. And like, I think what is important to highlight as well, and it's really good that you bring this up, because that's something I wanted to discuss about, which is there is a perception that if you treat everything like water, then your dam breach analysis might be more conservative, for instance.
Yeah.
And for example, that might not be the case for, say, a tailings dam and with a, say, offices or a processing plant just at the toe, which is not an uncommon setup.
Right.
So if you tell the people that is working in those offices, or people that are working in that processing plant, that after a potential failure event, they're going to have water up to the knees, but a large area is going to be covered.
It's very different
to tell them, like, opposite to that, you're going to have a column of maybe tens of meters of tailings above you, but only a small area is going to be covered.
Those two
conversations are very different.
Right.
So there is, it is important, like, for our clients to know the risk profile that they are facing and what are, like, the range of scenarios that they can be facing.
I'm glad you said that.
That's a key point, and because I keep seeing it when we do reviews and when we go to when we do our, like, dam safety reviews of the reviews, and we have a look at the dam breach analysis, and a site that has been inactive for several decades, and you look at the tailings dam breach analysis, and it's telling that your tailings are going to be flowing hundreds of meters, if not kilometers, downstream. I don't know.
I reviewed one dam breach analysis that indicated that the inundation front was going to be traveling slower than a person could walk. And that's just, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. These torrents don't go so slow that you could outwalk it.
And that's important, like, bringing the geotechnical component, like, geotechnical view to these processes. Because, I mean, rheology is a science that is studied, like the behavior of fluids. But we are, like, in this very awkward spot where things go from solid and potentially go all the way to liquid, but sometimes just a little bit, not too much, depending on the conditions. So if you, there's, like, that old saying, for a carpenter, like, everything looks like a nail, isn't it? I don't know how it goes, but.
If you only have a hammer, everything looks like a nail, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, the invitation really is to people to look into more detail, like, what's the problem at hand, and trying to choose, like, what's the best method and technology that is available, and then apply that with a great degree of engineering judgment, and make your risk assessment and your risk management based on that.
Yeah. Perfect, Marcel. I think that's probably a good place to end this. I know you're a busy guy and it's the start of your day in Brisbane, so I don't want to keep you any longer.
No worries. Thank you very much, Brian. That was a good chat. I really enjoyed it. And thanks for the invitation. Thanks for having me again. I look forward to listening to your keynote for the Indian committee on large dams. Hopefully it's going to be available.
I'm not sure if it's going to be recorded, but I'll find out for sure. And if it is, I'll put a link on LinkedIn and let you know.
Please do. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. And thanks again. And we'll look forward to your third appearance on the podcast.
Thank you, Brian. Have a
All
good
right,
one.
Thanks, Marcelli.
Well, that's it. I'm Brian, and this is Behind the Scenes with Brian. Until next time, keep on rocking. Mm-hmm.